ladies and gentlemen, I give to you the Dandy Show, insights and wonderings of two random minds.
Welcome in. I'd like everyone to sit back, relax, close your eyes. Imagine water gently lapping at the shore. There's some trees nearby. The sun is rising in the sky and the sun is glistening off the water. And in the trees you can hear this.
Dandy!
Dandy!
A dandy!
Tweet, tweet!
And welcome to the Dandy Show!
Hello.
Hello, welcome. Wake up from that little trance you're in. Here we are.
That did make me busting, actually.
Yeah, that's sort of what happens with my relaxation technique. It makes you uncomfortable and need to urinate.
So good work.
Thank you. I've been working on things like that.
How's it all going? Dave.
It's good, you know. I've recovered from the weekend. I'm no longer sore. Although today I was sitting at work and I was like, I wasn't sore, but I worked out what is sore for me. My ass is sore from sitting on a narrow piece of wood for 12 hours trying to fish. But I think that was
why. Yeah, they need comfier seats. It's the same as cycling. I don't understand why bikes don't have the comfiest seats in the world.
Maybe I should try that next time. Hey, they're called deck chairs for a fucking reason. I'm on the deck. Where's the deck chair?
That's right.
Ah, comfort. That's what I need when I'm being manly.
Yeah, I need a bit of comfort when I'm being manly. Anyway. And one of those nice big drinks with an umbrella.
Exactly. Nothing says manly like a martini.
Ooh,
or an apple tini.
Not stirred.
Can I get an apple tini with that, please?
Do you think the bartender was like, oh, fuck it, I'm just going to stir it?
Yeah. What's
he going to do?
Yeah.
He doesn't look like a spy or anything. He's not going to kill me.
No.
I'm going to stir it.
And it was in New Zealand, you
take
just...
take it up to him and go, I shook it, just like you said.
Yeah, I'd just make it in front of him, put it down and just tip in the vermouth or whatever it is and the vodka and an olive and be like, there you go.
Give it one stir in front of James Bond.
Yeah. And be like, what you going to do? And then 24 hours later, I'd wake up in a hospital.
Yeah, or he'd sleep with your sister or something.
Ooh.
I'm going to sleep with your sister. That was Sean Connery.
Oh, I thought it was...
I said shaken, not stirred.
Oh, sorry. I got it wrong. Anyway, mate, I'll knock 10 cents off it.
You're being a real shithead.
Listen, get out of my bar.
The service shocks you.
That'd be an awesome Bond
film. He's my favourite of the Bonds, I think.
I hope you're a director of a Bond film one day. It really went nowhere. They just did a bar scene for an hour and a half.
I'd definitely pick James Bond with a speech impediment or a lisp or something, because it would be awesome. Yeah.
Have a martini, please. Take it not stirred. I'm sorry, what? Take it not stirred. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, they definitely need to have... why don't they have either a gay Bond or a black Bond? Or a gay black Bond?
Yeah, that'd be cool.
A gay black female Bond who's a lesbian.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah, and has...
Bi. She's bi.
And has a drug addiction and... you know.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Tick a lot of tokenistic boxes.
I didn't mind the last one. I quite liked it. That kind of old versus new thing. Javier Bardem's pretty awesome.
Yeah, old Javier Bardem. He's pretty good.
Javi. Yeah, he's cool. I like when he did the teeth thing. Do you think, because he's such a method actor, that he actually got his jaw and teeth removed just to show the effects of cyanide cat poisoning stuff?
Maybe. I mean, you've got an awesome story about method acting, don't you?
Do I?
Waiting for Godot.
Which one? You can tell it.
Back when we were young and thought we were awesome at theatre.
I still think I'm awesome at theatre.
Well, you are. Sorry, back when I thought I was awesome at theatre. We were in a bunch of plays, and one was Waiting for Godot. But not our play, but someone else is doing a part of it. Drove his actors out into the middle of a forest and dropped them off and said, okay, we're going to rehearse for today. And they went, okay, yeah. And he went, so you guys have got your scripts? And they're like, yeah, yeah. And he's like, cool. Okay, I've just got to get something out of the car and then we'll do this. And so he just jumped in his car and took off. And then he came back something like 8 or 10 hours later and the actors were like, fuck you, man, we're freezing and we've had nothing. And he goes, hey, You're waiting for Godot. Use it. Get in the car. We're going back in.
Oh, I loved that guy. He was awesome. He was a pretty awesome director. For his final piece, where you get basically you got 50% of your mark in your final piece.
Yeah,
it was really highly weighted on your final directing piece, and he he got them to buy this. I can't remember what play it was, but it cost about $2,000 to get the rights to perform it.
Yeah,
so he got the play, and then everyone was waiting in the theater, and everyone was real excited, and he kept running in and out and kind of getting stuff ready. And then right when the lights went down, he ran on stage, put a tape in the tape recorder, pressed play and went, "Oh, see you all later," and left. And it was his actors just reading the script.
Right, good.
Man, he did not get a good mark.
No, I had heard that story slightly differently, so that's good. I'd heard he'd had bad feedback from a previous play from the people that were marking him, and he just read out that feedback on a tape.
No, he did do that, right. But not that one. He did that for another thing.
All right.
He enjoyed tapes.
Yes. Maybe it's his thing. He's probably a bit disappointed that we've even moved beyond CDs now. He's probably like, why didn't I get with digital earlier?
What was that?
Oh, he's probably annoyed that everyone's downloading now. He's moved beyond CDs and cassettes.
I think so.
Although it could be like a retro director.
He'll never lose the tape.
No.
Yeah, it'll always be in him.
He's probably finding it harder to find equipment to play his tapes, though.
I can't even remember his name. He was pretty cool.
Yeah.
He was very... we had a good directing class that year.
Yeah.
I think a lot of them have gone on to do great New Zealand directing stuff.
Yeah.
And I got... I think I got a C... I guess a C-minus or a C-plus for my final one.
Yeah.
So I was not a real one of those people that went on to greater things.
Well, you probably should have found a better lead man, because I was pretty poor.
No, well. Nah.
Let's not break it down too much, because people aren't really interested.
Nah. yeah, but Javier Bardem, eh?
Yeah, exactly. What a man. If he was acting in your play, you would have got an A.
Oh, he's cool. And he's going out with Penelope Cruz, isn't he? Or married to?
I'm not sure.
They might have a kid, yeah. She's pretty awesome. I like her. I didn't like her when she was going out with Tom Cruise, but I like her now.
Yeah, I mean, at least she wouldn't have had to change her name if they got married. Just her religious beliefs. Speaking of Tom Cruise, he hasn't really done anything too crazy lately. I'm a bit disappointed in him.
No, he's looking for a wife. It's hard to do things crazy. You've got to pretend that you're... Nice.
True. Oh, did you have...
Probably on dating site. I do not jump on couches when I'm madly in love with people.
I have never, ever made the statement that only Scientologists can save people at car crashes.
Religion. I'm kind of in between religions. I'm not very strict about it, so just whatever you're into.
Height, 6'2".
On a good day.
On a good day, if I'm standing on a box.
In the 70s, I was 6'2". Oh, Tom Cruise. Great actor, though.
Good actor. Yeah, not wrong. And I like that he does lots of quirky stuff.
Yeah, I like his quirky stuff. Yeah. Tropic Thunder, he was awesome. So funny.
And he's quite good as the rock star, I thought, in that.
Haven't seen it.
Hair metal movie. Yeah, no, I think it's one you either love or hate, and there's a lot of people I know who hate it, but I quite enjoy it.
Yeah. So I was watching a big UFC fight last night. It was George St. Pierre versus Nick Diaz.
Yes.
And the lead up to the fight was crazy because just how much they hated each other. Diaz kind of felt the GSP disrespected him, and so he got all defensive and started saying a whole lot of nasty stuff about him. And GSP said that Diaz had no respect, and yeah, just got pretty ugly. But sold a lot of seats, and lots of people brought the pay per view. So I think it did its job. But then the fight was pretty cool. The fight before that was amazing. It was such a good fight. Carlos Condit versus Johnny Hendricks was an awesome fight.
Yeah.
They just stood there and banged, and it was cool. It was like a wrestler versus a I don't know, Kalis Connor. I think he's a striker.
When you say they stood there and banged,
yeah,
meant fighting.
Just whatever imagery comes into your head, Dave, it's probably not what they did. Once again, you need to have your wee manly hat on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry. That would be really awkward to go to a UFC fight. They just started banging.
Are they doing what I think they're doing?
Man, when he said he was going to fuck him up, he really meant he was going to fuck him up.
Well, look, he's got top position.
Anyway, so carry on.
That fight was good. But the GSP fight, GSP won. That was a really good fight. And at the end, GSP said, you know, I just want everyone to give Nick Diaz the respect that he earned. He really sold this fight. Yeah. And he's a great fighter, and I wish him all the best. And then Nick Diaz got on the mic and said, "Wow, I'm so glad that he's paying me the respect I deserve." And I thought that's a pretty cool response if someone like is being humble and, you know, basically is just trying to clear the air after all of the shit that they said to each other.
Yeah.
You go, "Yeah, you should be thanking me."
Yeah,
that's perfect. Imagine if you did that at high school, you'd get into a fight. But at the press conference, Dana White, the head of UFC, came out and said, "Oh, Nick Diaz isn't coming up. He said he's done now. He's retired. He's not." Diaz got on the mic and said he was going to retire, and Dana White said, "No, he's retired. He doesn't want to come out to the press conference."
Yeah.
And then about 20 minutes into the press conference, Diaz just comes and sits down in the seat, and people are like, "What? What are you doing?" And he's like, "Oh," he said, I don't even think he mentioned the retirement. He just said, "If Dana gives me a rematch, I can beat you." "I know I can beat you." He just kept saying things like, "You punch like a pussy." "No, I don't mean any disrespect by that. Some pussycats punch really hard." "But not you. You punched like a little pussy bitch." and he said that. But the thing that I thought was really funny is he said, "I don't even pay my taxes. I'm probably going to go to prison tomorrow." Uh-huh. And it kind of made me think, people say some really stupid shit when they're when it's kind of live interviews.
Yeah.
And I I just thought that was pretty cool. But I was reading on the internet today, and all over the headlines were, "Nick Diaz doesn't pay his taxes."
It's kind of a bad way to announce things. I mean, I think maybe if you look at the history of fighters, they're never really brilliant orators. Like when Mike Tyson said, "Lennox Lewis, I'm going to eat your children, and I'm going to eat your children's children."
Oh, that's my favourite boxing interview moment. I love it. Just, I loved how much passion he had.
Yeah.
When he was saying it, "I mean, I'm gonna eat your children." But I love the follow up, because he must have got so much flack about it.
Yeah.
That he came back on national television and went, "Of course, I'm not gonna eat Lennox Lewis's children. He doesn't even have any children.
How am I gonna eat his children?
I'm not gonna wait 9 months. That food might go off."
Yeah. But I love that Mike's making a Mike, like I know him, is making a sort of comeback and doing a one man show, touring around and talking, and you know that he still just says like whatever he wants.
Yeah.
And it's awesome to have that sort of just, I don't care, I'm just gonna say what I want. So just admits to heaps of drug use and heaps of sex and STDs and fighting with syphilis and stuff like that. It's just, yeah, that's cool.
Fighting with syphilis. I'm surprised he didn't name the titles of his books. Fighting with syphilis.
Fighting with syphilis.
Because it sounds kind of like battling with cancer, doesn't it? Fighting with syphilis.
Dances with wolves.
Mike Tyson dances with wolves.
Scratch, scratch. Fighting with syphilis.
Yeah, you could probably liken fighting with syphilis to dancing with wolves. Because it could be dangerous. And you don't know, any time those wolves could attack, just like syphilis.
Especially if they don't like the dance you're doing. What if you're doing Gangnam Style and they're like, I'm sorry, I'm more into Lost Ketchup.
Yeah, I like to Dougie, actually, Mike. So either Dougie or I'm going to eat you.
I guess I'm not going to eat you.
Not your children, Mike. I'm going to eat you.
Because we're stuck on an island and you're the first to go.
Oh, book back.
Locusts.
Dolphins.
Yeah, or other people who aren't so good at interviews are wrestlers. Do you remember back in the 90s, Owen and Bret Hart having a feud?
Yeah.
And Bret Hart going, I'm going to sweep your leg out from under your leg!
I know, I loved Owen Hart. He was so good because he was so bad.
Yeah.
A great wrestler, but terrible, terrible at talking on the mic. And I love when he said, Bret Hart, you're so jealous. You're so jealous all the time. I'm jealous of you being jealous of my jealousy.
Yeah, or there was that other one where he's like, Bret Hart, you're so selfish. You're so selfish. It just makes me so angry. You don't want to be part of this family. You don't want to find everything. You're so selfish. From now on, Bret Hart, I'm going alone and I don't care about anybody.
Someone must have written that for him, though, surely.
Yeah. Or maybe just went a bit freestyly.
Yeah. Okay, tonight, Owen, we just want you to, you know, freestyle, just run it, see what happens. Yeah.
Okay, I'm good.
Main gist is that your brother is selfish.
Yes, I like it. Okay, I can work with that. How about I start with something like, Bret Hart, you're so selfish! How does that sound?
Nice, yeah. And stay on that vein. Don't talk about yourself much because, you know, you don't want to bring it back around.
No, I've done that before and I won't do it again.
Right, yeah, the leg thing didn't work.
That was really bad.
The leg out from under the leg.
It wasn't so good.
Seems a bit silly.
Okay, so I'll keep it short and interesting.
Keep it short, interesting. Your brother's selfish.
Bret Hart, you're so selfish. I'm sick of you being selfish. From now on, I'm just going to look after myself. How was that?
I liked it. I wondered if maybe you didn't need to bring the part about yourself being selfish into it.
Oh, next time I won't fuck up again. Next time, how about we talk about something like about how jealous Bret is of me?
Well, I've got this crazy concept, Owen. I'm thinking about you abseiling from top.
Oh, too soon.
No. Oh, I'm sorry. I love Owen Hart. He's
the Blue
so
Blazer
cool,
was my favorite wrestler.
Yeah, the Hart, Bret Hart's amazing. He's just the man. Yes. And because of his book, it made me not like Shawn Michaels because of that whole, I can't remember what it's called, but the Survivor Series one where they screwed him out of the title.
Yeah. It's didn't the like something screw Michaels. Job, isn't it?
Hey?
It's the something screw job.
Montreal, I think. And... But then when in the ring, years later, Bret and Shawn resolved their problems, then I liked Shawn again.
Oh, good. Did they bang?
No, they didn't bang.
Oh, okay.
No, Bret had a massive stroke and he was not allowed to bang.
Okay. Well, it's okay. Sometimes and I Bret, have a stroke rather than
he
banging.
He had his back fused, Bret Michaels. It's not Bret Michaels, is it?
Bret Michaels, and he just sang songs.
And he had a brain. Something.
Yes, he did. But he also had this awesome dating show, kind of like The Bachelor, but way trashier.
Oh, was that the one where
Rock
he just
of Love? Yeah. Hell yeah, it was.
And then what was the follow-up to that? Was that...
Rock of Love 2, wasn't it? It's a pretty imaginative title.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
We need a name. Something that'll bring people back. What about Rock of Love 2?
Brilliant. I love it.
I like it
that
a lot.
That will be $100,000.
But, so do you think that if you were, like, there must be quite a lot of pressure on professional athletes not to stuff up and say really silly things.
Yeah.
I just don't know if I could do it. I think I'd be constantly saying stupid things.
Well, yeah, I'd be saying stuff like, I see that albatross flying over there. I wonder what it's thinking.
Yeah, that might not be good just before you fight like Junior Dos Santos or someone.
"You know, I've been thinking, the Royal Monarch Penguin, do you think that they think they're monarchs?"
"Oh, I think they think, damn, I wish I could take this suit off."
"Yeah, I'm wondering, sloths, do you think they think, maybe I shouldn't have taken so much of that stuff, I'm totally body stoned right now." Anyone, what do you think?
"I wonder if they think I should not have got down off this tree 8 hours ago, because now I'm fucked."
"Yeah, I cannot get back up there. I think I don't even remember how I got up there in the first place. I might just die."
"What's with having three toes? Oh, I wish I had four, like my brother."
"Lucky bastard, he can get back up a tree."
"They say that we're a lot like apes, but I think we're a lot like sloths."
"Yes. Carry on."
There's a guy at work, and he's just, like, busy, busy, busy. He does everything, like, runs triathlons and does triathlons and heaps of sports, runs 20 to 30 Ks a day.
Yeah.
Every day if he can. So fit, so I don't think he would be a sloth.
No, he's probably descended from something more active, like a hyena.
Or an ape, yeah. Yeah, but I think myself, more like a sloth. See, even saying that sentence made me tired. I was like, oh, God.
I know, you really trailed off on that one.
That's right. So what, if you were, what sport, if you were a professional athlete, what sport would it be in, Davey?
Well, that's a good question. I used to think when I was young that I could be a professional cricketer, but the only thing I really did to move towards that was practice my signature so hard out so that I had what I thought would be a cool signature if someone asked me for it. I should have probably invested more time in the playing side of things.
No, I don't think so. Signatures are good.
Yeah. But yeah. I think looking at earning potential and longevity, maybe golf would be a good one. I'd really like to be a professional basketballer. That would be cool.
Yeah, basketball's mine. That's what I'd love to basketball. Or I would like to be on the women's Brazilian beach volleyball team. But basketball, I think. So
has that choice come over you because of your choice of underwear that you made recently?
It could be. No, the underwear that I brought, that David's talking about, they're briefs, and I brought them because they were on special.
Aren't they called bikini bottoms, Damien?
They could be, but they're men bikini bottoms. For men, I can very manly, I would go on your fishing boat, and I would tell everyone that I'm wearing manly bikini briefs.
And that you want to be in the Brazilian women's beach volleyball team.
Yeah, beast. But as a man, there are lots of men that would want to do that.
There are a lot of men that would want to do that. But you might get disqualified from every single competition that they go in.
And the other thing is that lots of people would probably do it just so they could stare at the asses and that, but I'd want to win. I'd be like, let's do this. Let's win this competition. But we've already been disqualified because you're a man. But why are you talking like New Zealanders? I don't know.
I'm going to eat your children.
So, David, if you were like a professional golfer.
Yes.
Let's just say it's like at the end of the match.
Yes.
And you didn't quite perform as well as you should have.
Yes.
Because of your world ranking.
Am I ranked in the top 10?
You're ranked in the top 10.
Right,
You were in the top one.
Yes.
So you were number one, but you slipped.
Okay.
And you're trying to get your way back up.
Yes.
Yeah, so how would you cope with an interview at the end of that? So let's imagine, David, you didn't quite do your best today. What's up with that?
Oh, just wasn't good enough, yep.
Well, that was a bit abrupt, Mr. Speeden. What's going on? Is there something wrong with your family life?
Was there something wrong with your family life? How about that?
Yes, it seems that my wife is sleeping with your wife. They were seen at a nightclub.
Well, I'm aware of that fact, and initially I found it really, really hot, and then I just felt like a spectator, and then I kind of realized that it wasn't so much a threesome as a twosome, and then I came out here to play today, and I was playing in a foursome, and it's all been very, very confusing for me, and I'm not 100% sure what's going on. I tried to drive the ball into the rough, and I tried to get with a few birdies, who all just reminded me of my wife and your wife. I think something like that.
I quite liked that because you started off a bit abrupt and a wee bit defensive, but you opened up.
Yeah.
And I think that if more people like Tiger Woods or Lance Armstrong had opened up right at the start, they wouldn't be in all of the trouble that they were in immediately after their scandals.
Exactly. And that's probably why it's good that that guy admitted that he hasn't paid tax. I mean, he's just getting the scandal out of the way.
That's right. He's
by introducing the scandal.
Do you think maybe there's an IRS guy going, oh.
He's made this way too easy.
Yeah.
Well, imagine at the trial. So, do you know that you were avoiding tax? No, I was completely unaware of this. Exhibit A. Oh, that's right. I did that press conference where I
met even pay any tax. I'm going to go to prison soon.
Me and Wesley Snipes, side by side.
He did go to prison.
Wesley Snipes went to prison for tax avoidance.
Yeah. He's a bit of a badass, though, eh? Like, he knows karate and stuff.
Yeah, he'd be fine in prison. So would the UFC guy. No one's going to be like, hey, that guy dropped his soap. They'd be like, oh, here's your soap back, sir. Sorry that you dropped it.
Yeah, he'd get into prison and he would bang.
He'd walk in and be like, okay, which one of you guys wants the bang?
I do. Mr. Diaz, I would like to bang.
I'm not entirely sure what's going on. Do you guys know what I mean by banging?
Yeah, it's a fighting term. It means that we stand kind of in the middle of the ring and we just punch each other. I'd like to punch your ring.
Exactly. But I wonder if he'll be like feeling inadequate. That is like, what are you in here for? Tax avoidance version. What are you guys in here for? Murder. Oh, yeah, damn it.
I murdered my wife when I found out she avoided taxes.
I murdered my wife when I found out she was having a two-way with a professional golfer's wife, and he suddenly dropped out of the top 10.
Yes, and apparently the reporter's very upset.
Beast. All right, well, you go. I think we're at 27 minutes, so we should probably wrap this up soon.
Okay. Good. Yeah, so I think what we've discovered with this conversation is that it would be hard to be a professional athlete and not to sound like a dick all the time.
Yeah, I'd pretty much try and be the strong silent type, I think, because
I think you have to,
my mouth gets me in trouble a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I remember once I was in a play.
Yes.
And was in Gore, and they said, oh, come on the radio and talk about your play.
Yes.
And so we went on, and the guy interviewing us said, okay, I'm just going to keep it simple because I realize you guys haven't been on radio before, so I'll just basically ask you, like, yes and no questions. And we went, sweet. And he said, you know, nothing too hard. And I was playing Hamlet.
Yes.
And he said, okay, Damien, now you're playing Hamlet and Mel Gibson has just played Hamlet. How does your Hamlet differ from his Hamlet?
Yes.
And I went, yes. And then I got completely flustered, and he asked me another question, and I nodded. And he went, this guy's nodding.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, so I think I'd be the silent type as well.
When I was working on a ferry in the UK, this program came on to film. It was called Fairy Tales, and they film things.
Nice.
And I used to do this hilarious life jacket demonstration. I think Air New Zealand's probably stolen their version of me, where... And I just went to town. I got a round of applause at the end of everyone and a lot of laughter. So they filmed that and then said, wow, you seem brilliant. I was like, thanks. And they're like, oh, man, you must have a story to tell. And I went, I don't know, I guess so. You guys can just talk to me if you want. And they're like, okay, so we're just going to put the camera on you now and we're going to ask you some questions and you just answer them as naturally as possible, but try and bring up the question in the answer so that we can cut it without having us talking. I was like, okay. Cool, I'm ready. And they turned the camera on, and the guy, the chef that was working with me, said, I just look like a deer in headlights immediately. And then they said, so what brought you to England? And I went, ha, what brought me to England? Yeah, that's a good one. Well, I was in love with a girl, and I followed her here all the way across the world, and then she broke up with me the very next day, so I guess some things don't work out, eh? So I'm still here now, trying to get enough money to get back home, ha, 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 ha. that was the end of the interview. They didn't really go any further than that.
Wow, that's quite a good story.
Yeah. Natural.
That's really good.
Yeah.
I like it. But did they show that on TV or did they
cut it? No, it was all cut. I don't think anyone from our ferry actually made it on.
So there were no fairy tales on your ferry?
No. Not unless they got really desperate or wanted an outtake section.
That was... That's kind of cool. They should do that for press conferences, have an outtake. And then there wouldn't be as much pressure because you'd be like, oh, well, if I don't make the main news, at least I'll get on the outtakes.
Yeah, just add out the outtakes when I admitted that I was avoiding tax.
Yeah, you know that was a joke, eh?
Yeah.
I definitely would never avoid taxes.
Nah. The glove doesn't fit. Anyway.
And who's your manager, Mr. Diaz? It's Willie Nelson. And Wesley Snipes.
Yeah, they've told me how to handle my taxes. Mike Tyson came out the other night. We ate some children.
Just jelly babies.
Yes. Cool. Well, I guess we should wind this up.
All right.
Maybe we'll try and go out the same way we came in. So I want everyone out there now to sit back and relax. Lie back in your chair. Close your eyes. I want you to imagine the scent of a pine forest. And then I want you to imagine darkness descending upon that. And then now I want you to imagine there's a noise in the trees. And a chainsaw starts up. And someone screams out, I want to eat your children.
And your children's children. Dander!
Yeah, 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 Dander!
Dander.
Dander.
Kiss our homies.